Happy feast day, everyone. I'm like very excited. Of course, y'all know we're going to head out afterwards onto the lawn and do a, I'm just calling it an old-fashioned Wisconsin barbecue. So it's going to be a great day. And what glorious weather God has given us. It's all good. You know, I think back to what it was like when this parish first started. 1854, which remarkably, that's the same year that Pope Pius IX declared the Immaculate Conception as a dogma of the church. So it was on December 8th, 1854. Imagine living during these times. Eventually, they would build this church in 1888. And you can imagine, they were just poor tenant farmers, but they felt they needed to make the sacrifice to create something so marvelous and so beautiful that was due God. So there was a great deal of a sense of reverence during this time. You know, in the days leading up to this weekend, I've been excited all week. I've been like a kid at Christmas. But I thought, oh, you know what I'd like to talk about this weekend? I'd like to talk about the Magnificat, and I also would like to bring in Revelations 12. I wonder how I'm going to do that. Then eventually I opened up and to see what the readings were for this weekend. The Magnificat is in the Gospel, and Revelations 12 is the first reading. You can't make this stuff up, right? So what do I mean? Why did I want to do that? Well, first of all, to just say how amazing this parish is. I mean, you guys are incredible. And you have accepted the call to stand up and to stand against evil, particularly by making yourself strong spiritually and by following the direction of our Lord, our Lady, in the ways in which we are called to stand against evil, primarily write the rosary. I said that it was 1854 that the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was. It was actually confirmed 4 years later by Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, when Our Lady gave Bernadette the name, I am the Immaculate Conception. So very, very interesting. So let's fast forward to recent years. And this is where I want to talk to you about our call. I want to begin at 2015. You know, that was a very contentious bishop synod, if you remember, a synod on the family. You know, one of the prophecies says that that in the end it will come down to marriage and family, right? And it was a very difficult time. Also, if you remember too, Islamic terrorism was rampant during that time. Lots of stuff going on. And I just felt called, let's get together and let's pray the rosary. And then to follow again the orders of Our Lady, who revealed to us powerful ways in which to pray the rosary, I said, we got to do the 54-day rosary novena. It's not just like throwing one rosary up, but it's taking 54 days out and saying, together, we're going to unite and be in like this spiritual warfare campaign, praying the 54-day, the powerful 54-day rosary novena. Lots of miracles throughout history have been attributed to it, and we even have witnessed many ourselves. So that was in 2015. Right as we concluded, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, 2015, that's when Pope Francis declared a year of mercy. I had Pope Benedict on the brain, I couldn't get it off. That's when Pope Francis declared a year of mercy. Remember that? I mean, there was even things like you could walk through certain doors that were designated as mercy doors, and you could actually receive an indulgence for doing that. You remember all that? So you could see our prayers or our sense of now is the time for us to call out to God and to ask for his mercy, to call out to Our Lady and ask for her intercession. All of that was ramping up during that time. So that started on December 8th, 2015, and the Pope said, Pope Francis said, that it would conclude on November 20th, the Feast of Christ the King, on 2016. Now, I don't know how many of you are tuned in at that time, but some may recall or some are hearing this for the first time, but that was also the time, and here we go, the first reading we had was Revelation 12. That was the time in which we were made aware that that sign in the sky was actually appearing. You know, as we saw, the 12 stars were on her head and all that. But what happened on November 20th, as we were made aware of, is that the king planet, Jupiter, went in to what would be the womb of the Blessed Mother in that constellation. And because of, the stars aligned in Revelation 12 in the sky, Jupiter, the king planet, entered into the body of the constellation Virgo, due to its retrograde motion, would spend 9.5 months within the womb of Virgo. That length of time corresponds to the gestation period of a normal late-term baby. After 9.5 months, Jupiter exits out of the womb of Virgo. Upon Jupiter's exit, or birth, it was on September 23rd, 2017. Well, that's the feast of St. Padre Pio. And I think a lot of things have us point to Padre Pio, but most especially is his strong belief in the miracle power of God, which saw many great miracles. Again, what are we being led to? To recover our sense of God's power, his miracle power. We had lost much of that over the last few decades. And I talked to you before about even scripture scholars in our seminary formation were dismissing things like the multiplication of loaves and fishes as instead Jesus gave a good example of sharing, and so everybody else shared and they realized they had more. You can see, but this idea that, you know, we shouldn't be medieval, okay, or dark ages and believe in miracles any longer. Well, what happens then? Then we lose our power that we were given to push back the devil, because he's in the supernatural realm and now we're denying the supernatural. Now he can just have a field day with us. So I think there's something special about that. But realize too, September 23rd was only a few days before the conclusion of what Pope Leo XIII marked as the 100 years of Satan's reign. So he had that vision in 1884, fast forward 33 years to when Mary came to give us the warning in October 13th, 1917, to this time that we have in 2017, 100 years later. All right, you follow me so far? So, here we are, this book of Revelations that we just heard today. Here's the part that was left out of this reading. They can't give the whole chapter, but I think it's significant that we hear the part of Revelation 12 that wasn't proclaimed in the first reading. It goes like this. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. The ancient serpents called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. But then we go to the end of that chapter, because there's kind of a back and forth where the devil and his angels are trying to war against Mary, who's being protected during that time. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? What do we see going on right now? That those who actually teach the Word of God and teach that in order to be considered God's offspring, Our Lady's offspring, all right, we have to follow all the teachings of the church. There's no compromises. There's no middle ground. There's nothing. No. And we've been saying this too, is that when we receive that beautiful gift of awe and wonder, well, then it's easy. You know, my yoke is easy, my burden light, because we just want to please God. So, of course, we follow all those things. What do we see now? He says, he would war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's command. What are you called? A right-wing extremist. They just did an article of me in the Wisconsin State Journal, and I thought it was weak. I didn't think it was much to it. But they accuse me of being against abortion. How dare I? You know, but I carry with me conservative Catholic notions, teachings. See what I'm saying? So we're categorized as some kind of extremist if we're actually keeping God's commandments and hold fast to our testimony about Jesus. See what they're doing? They're trying to normalize those who compromise their faith. See, that's real faith, and according to them. Ours is, you know, weird and wrong because we keep all the commandments. How? That's just crazy if you do that, according to them. So you see, we're in this time. We're in this time. Look at the persecuted priests right now. The two ways that you identify them, the common factor and the way in which they're being persecuted as they're called divisive for what? How dare you make your offering the Mass more reverent? How dare you actually teach what the church teaches? And how dare you warn against the evils of the world? How dare you? You need to be put out. Do you see what's going on? The ancient serpents call the devil. He war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep his commands. He's doing it. So what about the Magnificat? I'd say for the last 10 days, because you may or may not know this, but us priests, we pray the Magnificat every day. But this part of the Magnificat stood out for me. As we're calling upon Mary to be our general in this war, we're Mary's army. In the Magnificat, she says, "He has mercy on those who fear him." There it is again. Who are in that place, filled with awe and wonder, where you only want to do is please God, I'm afraid of ever disappointing those. Those are the ones who receive mercy, who receive blessing in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. Tell me we can identify what's going on any other way than we got these elitist progressives who feel they know better than us. They know better than those who keep the word of God. All of it. They know better than us. But he scattered the proud and conceit. He cast down the mighty from their thrones, the elitist ruling class, and has lifted up the lowly, those who humble themselves before the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I believe we're in this place right now where we were given this paradigm of what was revealed in Revelation 12 with this sign that we received. And the timing of it was incredible. And so we have the devil warring against us right now. What do? We follow orders. That's why I felt compelled. I didn't have all these dots connecting in 2015. I just felt we need to get together and we need to do it Mary's way. And that's why we started this 54-day Rosary Novena. I have no doubt, and I pray you're the same way, that we're witnessing a paradigm of what was revealed to us in Revelation 12. Right now, we're in the thick of a historic war. It's a war between Our Lady's army and Satan's army. We win. If we do it the way our general has revealed for us to do it, if we choose to join forces with our brothers and sisters to pick up our weapons, the rosary, and to say yes to this revealed 54-day spiritual warfare, this crusade, if you will, Oh, and let's not forget, we're talking about signs in the sky. Last December 20th, 21st, we were given the what people called the Christmas star because it was so close to Christmas. The last time it happened was almost 800 years ago in 1226. You look back at what happened there, they always point to just two things that happened in that year. St. Francis of Assisi went to his eternal reward, and the practice of Eucharistic adoration came out of the monasteries and into the parishes and went viral that year. I believe that God was showing us something. What about Francis of Assisi? He's the one that said, man should tremble, the earth should quake, all heaven should be deeply moved when the Son of God appears on the altar in the hands of the priest. And you know what else he was known for in the last 2 years of his life? He knew it was on. And so he got serious. And what did he do? He began a practice of what he called St. Michael's Lent. So in the 40 days leading up to the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel, September 29th, he went into intense prayer and fasting. Do you know when those 40 days start? August 15th. Today we start our 54-day Rosary Novena. This is actually our seventh, if you count 2015. Sometimes we don't count it because we got really organized in 2016 with Novena for our nation. But we did start one in 2015. Please be a part of this. You can go to usgraceforce.com to find the daily prayers. It's just a little beginning prayer and a little ending prayer, and then a little line of prayer at the decades of the Rosary. It's doing it obediently. Watch what happens when you're more obedient. I've been saying lately, you know, God wants to grant miracles. To who? Not to those who compromise their faith, because then you're not an ambassador for him. Yeah, I believe in abortion. Look, I got this miracle. Ain't going to happen. You see what I'm saying? Miracles are granted. Blessings are granted. Mercy is granted to those who keep God's commands, who follow his direction and can't wait to do it. Now, I believe that's where we're at right now. Satan's warning against us. We have Our Lady as our general, a great gift from God. I'm going to close with this quote from St. Maximilian Kolbe. He's the patron saint of the U.S. Grace Force. His feast was yesterday on the vigil of our feast day of Our Lady of the Assumption. Here's what Maximilian Kolbe said. Modern times are dominated by Satan and will be more so in the future. The conflict with hell cannot be engaged by men, even the most clever. The Immaculata alone has from God the promise of victory over Satan. However, assumed into heaven, the Mother of God now requires our cooperation. She seeks souls who would be consecrating themselves entirely to her, who will become in her hands effective instruments for the defeat of Satan and the spreading of God's kingdom upon the earth. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.